If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Psalm 63, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God, and all who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The title of my message today is Seekers. Seekers. Earnestly, verse 1 says, I seek you. Have you ever gone really hard after something in your life? Have you ever had a goal, ever had something that was so important to you that you made up your mind, boy, whatever comes my way, I am going to seek, I am going to pursue this goal of mine. You ever had goals like that? Maybe a new job. Maybe a promotion on your existing job. Maybe if you're an athlete, a spot on the starting team. Maybe a person you really wanted to date. Maybe a car or other possession you wanted, a contract that could make or break your company, a physical fitness goal, whatever it is. What did you do to get what you wanted? Did you give it your best effort? Did you focus all your energies on it? Did you think about it day and night? Or maybe devise a plan or a strategy to get it? Maybe talk about it with someone else, anyone who would listen. Maybe stick to it. Stick with it until you reached your goal. Seekers. Like a person who is thirsty. The weather's getting warm. It's going to be warm today outside. Aren't you thankful for air conditioning? You're outside any length of time in the heat. Some of you even have some hydration this morning. Matter of fact, I do too. Just saw somebody take a drink, so I'm going to take a drink. My good friend Wally Odom, his father was a preacher, and he's taking a drink, and his father told him, don't take a drink because people in the audience might be thirsty. And as he took a drink, he said, I'm not the man my father was, so I don't know. So forgive me for that. But this morning, what would be the result if we had that same kind of single-mindedness in going after God? What about if God became the single most important pursuit of our lives? Getting all we can from Him, seeking His face, focusing, as we sang this morning, on His presence, and making our relationship with Him the very centerpiece of our lives, and not just an hour and a half on Sunday morning. I don't know, but I'm just simple enough to believe that's the way it ought to be. What do you think? Amen? What changes would take place in our lives if God became the centerpiece of our lives? What changes would take place in our prayer lives? You know, in our priorities, in the use of our time. I can't help but notice we have a few more empty spots in our pews this morning. than we did last week during the conference. That's not to judge those who are not here. There may be legitimate reasons. But I have to wonder, when there's not something special going on, does our excitement and desire to be in the house of God, does it diminish? What changes would take place in our spending habits, in our social life, in the way we react to lost people, in our commitment to missions? What changes might take place if we became more fervent seekers of Almighty God? Yes, we had a great conference, but I believe God wants more from our Holy Spirit conference last week than for us to just have an exciting few days. And then just to go back to business as usual. Our prayer leading up to the conference was, Lord, change us. Was that your prayer? Lord, change me. Transform me. Transform our church. Transform our outreach. Transform our hearts. Transform the way we live our lives. Lord, let us seek you like never before. In this psalm written by David, you know, you say what you want about David, but when David failed, he failed miserably. But the scripture still calls David a man after God's own heart. That encourages me today because I can identify with David's failures. Are you like me? Do you see people fail in the Bible and say, yeah, I can relate to that? Please, somebody say yes. Thank you. The Bible is truthful. The Bible tells it like it is. And even great men and women of God, they failed. And David failed miserably. But David had a heart after God. David knew how to seek God. And if I can relate to him and his failures, I hope to God, not all of them, not specifically, but if I can relate to someone who fails, my heart is that I can emulate the way he sought after God. And this passage reveals four aspects of seeking after God. And I would like us to hear the word of the Lord today. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you've heard me preach it before. Maybe you've heard somebody else preach it better than I ever could. But let us hear the word of the Lord this morning. Amen, church? Let's come to the word of God with open spirits. The first aspect here of seeking after God is what I call reference. The reference. We need to know where we are. We need to know where we are. David says here, my soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you in a dry and weary land. We have to know where we are. There once was an absent-minded professor who became so absorbed in his work that he forgot the simplest details. One morning his wife said, now, Henry, remember, we are moving today. Here, I'm putting this note in your pocket. Don't forget. He was that absent-minded. The day passed by. The man came, was absorbed in his work, came home to his house, entered the front door, found the front door empty, forgot everything his word had said, his wife had said, forgot about the note in his pocket. Distraught, he walked out to the curb and sat down. A young boy walked up to him and he asked him, little boy, do you know the people who used to live here? The boy replied, sure, Dad. Mother told me you'd forget. That is real absent-mindedness. But we chuckle at that story, and yet I wonder, as we laugh and chuckle at someone who didn't know where he was, so to speak, that in a spiritual context, we forget where we are. We come to this atmosphere. We sing the songs. We may raise our hands. We love the atmosphere. We love the fellowship. Maybe our emotions are stirred. And then we leave. And we go back and live in a spiritual desert. We don't pray. We don't seek the face of God. In essence, I wonder if sometimes we just take God and we put him on a shelf and say, God, I'll pick you up same time next Sunday morning as I head to church. Do we know where we are? The superscription at the beginning of the psalm tells us the setting in which David wrote this when he was in the desert of Judah. He describes it as a dry and weary land. a parched and thirsty land where there is no water. Going hard after God often begins with an accurate point of reference. We need to be honest with ourselves this morning, spiritually, church. You see, because it doesn't matter what the person on our left, the person on our right on Sunday morning, the person behind us, the person in front of us, doesn't matter what the pastor thinks, doesn't matter what the worship leader thinks, doesn't matter what our spouse thinks, what our kids think so much. What matters is what God knows. And what we may not be willing to admit to ourselves, that we are in a dry and thirsty land. We are in an arid and a dry place spiritually. Church, I believe sometimes we need to look ourselves in the spiritual mirror, if you will, and be honest with ourselves and say, hey, I'm in a dry place. We need to have a point of reference. We need to understand. One thing you can say for David is he wasn't troubled with mirages. He didn't look out across the arid landscape and mistakenly see an oasis with a shimmering pool of water. You know how you see that depicted in movies and television? And there seems to be a pool of water, and then they get closer, and it's just a mirage. David knew where he was. David failed sometimes, yes, but David was willing to admit where he was. David was willing to own up to the fact that sometimes he was in a dry place. How about you today? Now, that may not be the case. You may be firing on all cylinders. I know I'm mixing metaphors this morning. But you may feel that your soul is watered and the Holy Spirit is flowing powerfully through your life. I say praise God and just be thirsty for more. But if you're here today and in distinction from the image that you may publicly present, you know deep down, hey, I'm in a dry place. I'm in a place where I need the water of the Holy Spirit in my life, then you need to be like David and be honest with yourself and turn into a seeker. Revelation 3:17, the word of the exalted Christ to one church says, you brag, I am rich, I've got it made, I don't need anything from anyone. Oblivious that in fact you're a pitiful, blind beggar, threadbare, and homeless. That's from the Message. Maybe sometimes we as a church contribute to that false perception because God's presence is in our services. And we enter into praise and worship. Sometimes we tell ourselves, hey, everything's fine. Church, let me say this. It's a dangerous place to be in. Not to know where we are spiritually. It is a frightful place. Ignorance is not bliss, church, especially when it comes to spiritual things. So this morning, let's just be honest with ourselves and God. Let's just say, hey, I need to have to seek after God, I need to have a place of reference. I need to know where I am spiritually. I need to be honest with myself. Point of reference. Where are you today spiritually? How is your walk with God? Are there things in your life? Are there habits? Are there activities in your life that maybe 5, 10, 20 years ago, maybe when you gave your heart to the Lord, you wouldn't dare allow it into your life, but you've allowed things to slip? That's a sign of being in a dry place. My heart today for all of us, oh God, help us to be honest with ourselves about where we are in you. Amen? A point of reference. What's the second aspect of seeking after God? It's resource. It's resource to see God as our only hope. Notice the first words of this psalm. Oh God, you are my God. Oh God, you are my God. That's the awesome thing about Almighty God. He is the God. Amen? He is the God over all. He is the God who spoke the universe into existence. He is the God who holds all creation in His hand. He is the omnipotent one. He is the all-powerful one. He is the one in whom all things consist and by whom all things are held together. He is the Almighty God. But we can also say with David, if we're a child of God, He is not only the God, He is my God. Hallelujah. He is my heavenly Father. He is the one I look to. He is the one I have a special relationship with. Isn't it awesome that with over 7 billion people on the planet, that each one of us can have an intimate personal relationship with Almighty God? He is that awesome. He is that personally attentive. They say in a classroom, they talk about student to teacher ratios, you know, and the lower the student to teacher ratio is, the better, because the teacher can give more attention to a lower number of students. I'm thankful that the God to believer ratio is 1:1. Hallelujah. We need to look to Him. We need to see Him as our hope. Let me tell you, nothing will make the difference in your life and in my life like walking close to Him, like having the flow of His Spirit in our lives. And if He's just a God we put up on a shelf until next Sunday morning, then we are missing a lot in our lives, church. Amen. How many know God wants to walk with you when you get up tomorrow morning? God wants to go into the office with you, into school with you, into your place of business. God wants to go with you into that difficult meeting. God wants to help you make that difficult decision. God wants to be alongside you and speak through you when you interact with that difficult person. And God wants to guide you when you have a difficult decision or when you have a hard decision to make. God wants to be with you and help you through that difficult decision. God wants to be with you every second of every moment of every day. We need to look to Him. And we look to many other places, don't we? Former superintendent of the Assemblies of God, George Wood, talks about a friend who was on a pilgrimage and was over in the Middle East in Egypt and was taken on a tour of the pyramid. They were actually going up a pyramid. But the guy gave all of them a little bit of guidance. He said, when you get up the height of the pyramid, trust me, look up, don't look down. Anybody here afraid of heights? Yeah. So, you know, if you can be coaxed up into a height, you know, look up, don't look down, right? Sometimes we need to remember that spiritually. Where are we looking today? Where are we looking? Look to Him as our source. Look to Him as the one who is our hope, who is the one who can help us through each and every situation of our lives. Heard a story of a woman, a mom, who answered a telephone. On the other end was a woman, and she heard this. She heard, "Honey, it's Mom. I called because I know you're busy with 3 children, and I want to give you some help. I'm going to stop by to clean the house, take care of the baby, prepare dinner for when the boys get home from school. I want you to get ready to go to my beautician. I paid already. She's going to give you the works. Your appointment is at 1 o'clock. Give George a call at the office. Tell him you will meet him at Shea J's for dinner, and it's on me." The young mother suddenly interrupts and asks, "George? Who's George?" The caller says, "Your husband." She says, "My husband's name is Fred." The caller says, "Is this 555-3212? She says, "No, this is 555-2212. "I'm sorry," says the embarrassed caller. "I have the wrong number." After a pause, the young mother says sheepishly, "Does this mean that you're not coming over?" You see, when we need help, we'll take it from any source, won't we? David says, "God, you are my God." First, he acknowledges the presence of God. He knows that even in the dry place, God is there. Hallelujah. As we sang about the presence of God today. Isn't that wonderful? If you are in a dry place, if you are experiencing a desert environment in your spiritual experience, I want you to know that God is still there. You may not feel Him. You may not have goosebumps at the moment, but I want you to know He's still there in the desert. He's still there in the dry, arid place. And if you call out to Him and say, "God, you are my God," you will find that He's there with you in the desert. Hallelujah. Secondly, David acknowledges God as my God. He laid personal claim to God as his rightful owner and ruler. God wants to bless you today. God wants to meet you in the desert today. God wants to flood your being with His Holy Spirit. And He will give you, He will bless you far better than you're able to bless yourself. Far able than you're, He will enrich you far more than you're able to enrich yourself. Spiritually speaking, a young boy went to the local store with his mother. The shop owner, a kindly man, passed a large jar of suckers or lollipops, whatever you call them, and held it out for the boy and invited the boy to take a handful. And the boy uncharacteristically just stood there and held back. And he asked him again. Finally, the store owner himself reached in, grabbed a handful of the suckers and gave them to the boy. When they were outside, the mom was, you know, she was surprised at her son's behavior. It wasn't like him. And she said to him, well, why were you so shy and you wouldn't take a handful of the suckers when the store owner offered them to you? Young boy said, it was because his hand is bigger than mine. God's hand is bigger than yours. God wants to bless you far beyond your ability to receive. God wants to bless you to overflowing today. Hallelujah. Not only on Sunday morning, but every moment of every day of the week. Amen. We can cry out to Him, God, You are my God. God, You're my source. When you're involved in that difficult situation, God, You're my source. God, You have what I need at this moment. Whatever you're facing this week. Some of you, even as you're sitting here in church this morning, you're thinking about what you have to face in the morning. You're thinking about some of your issues this week. God will be with you to face the issues. God will be with you as your resource. Amen. Look to Him. Psalm 18:6 says, in my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From His temple He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His ears. If we come to God casually, we may or may not get a response. But if we come to Him desperately saying, God, You are my God. You are my resource. God will meet every need in our lives. How many know that's true? Third aspect of seeking God this morning is resolution. Resolution. Set our hearts to seek God. It says here, earnestly I will seek you. The King James Version here says, early will I seek you. And I don't believe that's referring to the time of the day, although it's a good practice to seek God in the morning before you face your day. Some do it later in the day, and that's fine, whatever works for you. But the thing is, early is not so much a time of day, but it's a priority. God, I will seek You before I seek anything else. Earnestly, I will seek You. Secondly, look what he says about the earnestness of his pursuit. Earnestly, I seek You. In my heart, I long for You. My whole being desires You. I can't get enough of You, as one translation says. Earnestly, I seek. You know, God knows when we mean business with Him. God knows when we mean business with Him. Amen? I want to read you a quote from the book Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozier. Listen to what he says. He says, I want to deliberately encourage this mighty longing after God. The lack of it has brought us to our present low estate, the stiff and wooden quality about our religious lives is a result of our lack of holy desire. Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. Acute desire must be present or there will be no manifestation of Christ to His people. I want to read that line again. Acute desire must be present or there will be no manifestation of Christ to His people. He waits to be wanted. Too bad that with many of us He waits so long, so very long in vain. Every age has its own characteristics. Right now, we are in an age of religious complexity. The simplicity which is in Christ is rarely found among us. And instead, our programs, methods, organizations, and a world of nervous activity which occupy time and attention but can never satisfy the longing of the heart, the shallowness of our inner experience, the hollowness of our worship, and that servile imitation of the world which marks our promotional methods all testify that we in this day know God only imperfectly and the peace of God scarcely at all. What an indictment upon the church of our day and age. Folks, we need to get hungry for God. We need to get thirsty for Him. We need to seek Him earnestly. We need to seek Him like we mean business with God this morning. David uses two illustrations. First, like someone dying of thirst. The New Living Translation says, "My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water." The other illustration is like someone starving to death. Just as the human body cannot function in strength and energy without taking in food to nourish it, so David says he can't function spiritually without feeding on the bread from heaven. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Everyone is looking for something. How desperate are we to receive from God this morning? Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13. Then you will call to me, you will come and pray to me, and I will hear you. When you look for me, you will find me when you wholeheartedly seek me. Are you hungry this morning? Are you thirsty for Him? We need to be resolute. We need to make a determination. Church, we're in a few minutes, we're going to open up these altars as the praise team is going to come. And we're just going to worship God. And we're going to have a time before Him, seeking Him and calling for Him to come and to fill us and to overflow us and to move upon us and to satisfy us. And my heart's desire is that each of us would be resolute and say, this is just not just another Sunday morning at Harvest Church. This is not just back to business as usual, but I am determined. I've made up my mind. I am going to seek God like never before. I am going to get down to business with Him. My time in His presence is going to mean something. It's not, I'm tired of token gestures. God doesn't want our token gestures today. God doesn't want our little nods to who He is before we resume business as usual. God wants us to be hungry and thirsty for Him. Hallelujah. Are we resolute today? Have we made up our minds that we're going to seek Him like never before? That's the fourth aspect of seeking after God. It's this, it's results. Expect things to happen. David said in verse 5, "My soul will be satisfied." David said, when I go hard after God, when I seek Him like never before, I expect to receive something from Him. Hallelujah. I wonder how many of us came to church this morning expecting to receive. You know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Did we come today expecting to receive? Do we kneel down in prayer in our private times of devotion expecting to receive something from God? Or do we just say, let me just go through the ritual, let me go through the routine? David talks about things like a display in verse 2 of God's power and God's glory. How many want to see the power and glory of God in your life? Remember what Tim shared with us during the Holy Spirit conference, the purpose of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we're blessed on the inside, but the ultimate purpose is that we would be a vessel to minister life to those who need it. I want to be that vessel this morning, don't you? And God's power and His glory manifest in my life. Satisfaction of soul. Verses 3 and 4 talk about freedom and praise and worship. You know, praising and worshiping God is an act of the will, but I believe that God wants to bring a freedom. There's some of you here today, you're still a little uncomfortable when you see people raising their hands. That's all right. That may not be part of your church tradition. I get it. But you know what? It's biblical. The Bible says to lift up holy hands. And I believe there's just something about us doing an act of the will, say, Lord, I'm going to lift up hands. What are hands up the universal sign of? Surrender. Surrender. And I just think it's awesome when we raise our hand, even if it feels funny, even if it feels awkward, just raise our hands. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you right now. I surrender afresh. Lord, I say, do what you want in me. Come on, do what you want in me, Lord. I surrender. And so we become free in praise and worship. I just long for the day when every one of us doesn't care one whit about who's next to us, who's around us, who's behind us, who sees us, who hears us. And we're willing to just lift up our hands. We're willing to lift up our voice. Can I tell you something? Even if you're naturally shy, I get that. You're not all a big mouth like me. I understand that. But God wants to set us free in praise and worship. God wants us to abandon ourselves. I've seen some of you at football games and baseball games. I've seen some of you. And I get excited too. I have my man cave downstairs, and I'll have a game on, and my wife will know. Oh, somebody scored a touchdown. She'll hear me lifting my big mouth, you know, and raising my voice. I've seen some, and I would just love for us to be that. I'm not saying, you know, there's a greater blessing by how loud we shout. That's not the point. The point is, the less inhibited we are, the more single-minded we're going to be about going after God. We're going to forget where you know, who's around us, and forget who's going to see us, or God forbid, who might hear us. And we're going to lift up our voice. We're going to lift up our hands, not to make a demonstration, not to say, look at me, but to say, Lord, I'm here for you. I'm going after you. I'm putting my heart and soul into it. Verses 6 and 7, he talks about being free from fear. Psalm 4:8 says, when I lie down, I go to sleep in peace. You alone, O Lord, keep me perfectly safe. Psalm 63:7 says, you can sing in the shadows because he is your help and he will be there with you. Isaiah 26:3 says, you, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. In verses 9 and 10, David talks about God dealing with his enemies. Do you see all the good things that happen when we go hard after God? Don't misunderstand me this morning. God loves you. God could never love you more than he loves you right now. How many know that? God could never love you more. We can love him more than we love him right now. He could never love you more than he loves you right now. He loved you enough to send his son to die for you. He loves you enough to give you the breath of life every moment of every day. God could never love you more than he loves you now. We don't earn more of his love by going after him. He doesn't love us better when we go after him. But when we pursue him, when we seek him, when we realize that he is our life, and we seek him like we've never sought anything else before, we are opening up a channel. We are opening up a conduit, and we are able to receive more. And he is just desiring to bless you. He is desiring to pour out blessings on you. Listen, think of the greatest blessing you've had in your life. Think of the great, whether it's the best church service you've ever been in, or the best prayer time, or the best time you've ever had in your life. God wants to bless you about 10 million times better than that. Thank you for that underwhelming response. I said, think of the best experience in your life. God wants to bless you more than 10 million, 100 million, a billion times more than that. Amen? Amen? God doesn't hold back. God's not stingy. Expect things to happen. We're going to seek God here in a few minutes. I say expect to receive something. If you were here during the Holy Spirit conference and you heard Tim share, the minister, about receiving the fullness of baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you say, I came and I prayed and I didn't receive it. I didn't receive the initial physical evidence speaking in other tongues. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop opening yourself up to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when you as you praise him, when you feel those promptings and you feel you feel those syllables and things you don't understand, just give voice to it and speak out. Open up your mouth and the Lord will fill you. He's already done it for many, and he wants to do it for you today. Don't stop seeking him. Hallelujah. We seek after God. We have to have a point of reference. We have to know where we are. Where are you this morning? Are you willing to be honest with where you are spiritually? We need to see God as our only resource. Lord, I don't need more of this. I don't need so much another job or a raise, or, you know, I don't need somebody else to act differently toward me. Lord, I just need to get press into you. God is our resource. We need to be resolute. Say, Lord, no matter what else happens in my life, I become resolute. Lord, I'm going to seek after you like I never have before. And it's not just for a day. It's not just for a service or some special services. Or it's not just because the pastor got us up to the altar. But it's going to be a way of life for me, Lord, to seek you with my whole heart. And I'm going to expect to receive something from you today.